And welcome to Gloom and Bloom. This is Christine.
This is Taylor.
Oh my gosh, Taylor. It was your birthday last week.
It was.
How was your big day?
Oh my gosh, it was so great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I just relaxed most of the day and then like, I relaxed most of the day, but then also my child had kind of a weird thing where he like got an ear infection. No. Did I tell you about this?
No.
He like went to this party. And it was a birthday party, and all of a sudden he was like, my ear hurts. And it was like kind of a loud environment, like as birthday parties are. And I was like, oh, I know, it gets a little loud. And then all of a sudden it was like my ears hurt to like,
oh my god!
And he was like uncontrollable.
He was just so in pain.
I like messaged Jared, I was like, I gotta take him to InstaCare right now.
Yeah, you're like, he's dying.
Yeah,
of
and
ear
I
pain.
Take him, and they're like, when did you first start noticing signs of an ear infection? I was like, 30 minutes ago, pal.
And you're like, and look at him.
And he had a double ear infection, so bummer. But then he like was like getting ready for school the next day, and he had already had amoxicillin the day before. I gave him it this morning. I was like, I'm giving you ibuprofen on top of it just in case. I don't want you like be in pain at school.
Right.
He didn't have like a fever or anything, so he's like, fine. And then I drop him off at school. I come home, I'm like, it's my birthday. I'm going to just sit here, watch some TV. They're like, hey, Declan threw up at school. I was like, cool, I'll be over to pick him up. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. You're like, happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
I love being a mom on my birthday. It was so fun.
So I just picked him up, and I think he just like, it was just like all that. Plus, I think he like coughed too hard.
Oh.
So he wasn't like sick.
Right.
It just was a lot.
That's
going
what
on.
Kate will do. She'll call me and be like, "Mom, I was, I bent over and then I stood up and then I kind of burped and I threw up in my mouth." And then
and you're like,
"I'm like, well, great. Now I have to come get you because you told them you need to call me because you threw up." But yeah. I'm like, "You really didn't."
You can't be like, "Go back to
I know,
class."
I feel like she did that so much. She'd be like, "I think I'm gonna throw up again."
Yeah,
I'm like,
"You're like, how about you just say, hey, I'm not feeling good."
Yeah. Ever since like COVID times, I'm like, I can't be like, "Oh, you're sick. Stay at school."
Right. Or like when you have like. Your kids have like that lingering cough.
Yes.
My kids will have a lingering cough and then we go like they won't cough all day. We go to a restaurant and all of a sudden they're like and all like they Everyone's trigger like, each other. And I'm like, sorry guys, I swear.
they're not sick. It's allergies. They're it's like, allergies. Sure, lady.
All of them.
Get your sick kid out of here.
I know. I'm like, oh,
like, shame. Well, that sucks. But did the rest of the day turn out okay?
The rest of the day was great. I went out to dinner.
Where'd you go?
I love this place. It's like just nostalgic. I love Italian Village.
We went there on a date once, me and you.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, forever ago?
Forever ago.
Oh my gosh. Why do I not remember this? I love it.
You go all the time.
And what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. We used to go there all the time.
Okay, you've been
like,
there
Todd
before.
Grew up kind of over in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'd go there all the time. And Todd accidentally once, or he wanted one of those pizza benders.
Yeah.
And he accidentally said pizza bendover. And so now they're pizza bendovers. He it's like said it to the waitress. I was like, Todd, I'm horrified.
It's like when people say they go to like In-N-Out and they order doggy style fries on accident. I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, if anyone ever wants to creep on me and if it's my birthday, I will most likely be at a Diamond Village.
Yeah.
It's just what I do.
Yeah. And it's like lovely and old and
it's definitely, it's got good ratings. I think it's a delicious place, but I think it's probably like a place that people have gone forever and they
yes,
love it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been there, but there is a place in Riverton.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I blanking? Oh, it's called Jim's.
Oh, yeah. Jim's Family Restaurant.
Yes. First time I went in there, I was like having to like try not to cry because I'm like, it reminds me of an old folks like in Manti. They have like a senior citizen center. I was like, there's so many old people in here. Mm-hmm. It smells like bleach and ranch and like warm hugs.
Yeah.
It just reminded me. It was just so much nostalgia.
But it's good.
Yeah. The food
it's
is
good
freaking
food.
Good. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you order something, but they're like, here's a soup, here's a salad, here's a roll. Like the portion.
Huge portions.
Huge.
Insane.
And it's good prices.
Oh.
It's just like old
I
times.
Love a place like that.
So
Are you kidding
nice.
Me?
So good.
Yeah. So we went there for dinner. And then this weekend, I like went out to dinner with my friend and we went to Sapa, which is like a Japanese restaurant. I love it so much.
Did you get sushi?
No, I don't eat
sushi. Yeah. What do you get there?
I get teriyaki chicken, but I also got pork dumplings and.
I've only ever had sushi there.
Oh, it's so good.
But though. The atmosphere is super cool.
It's so cool.
Especially in the summer when you can sit outside in their little courtyard.
Their little patio is It can't be topped. I've like taken friends there and we've like rented out one of their Japanese tea houses.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
You can, and it's so fancy. Is
it, it's like indoors then?
It's like out, it's like the tea houses that surround the courtyard.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. So it's like a summer thing.
There. Yeah.
Okay, well, I got you a little dumb present.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, ASMR present opening.
Oh my gosh, you're the nicest.
It's really stupid.
I didn't even expect this.
Gosh, I think I know what this is.
How do you know?
Because I've been wanting to buy it for you. No, this is not it.
This is better. Have you seen the one that's like the...
First off.
Have you seen the one that's like the... Like a Yeti or like Bigfoot? It's like hiking through the... That's what the top of this looked like.
Oh. But show the camera.
Merkin in my merkin. I'm wearing this to bed tonight.
Yes, I know. I was like, it's actually pretty garbage.
I like love it.
I know. Where I was searching.
Did you find this?
Amazon. I searched Etsy and Amazon for Merkin. Just anything.
What if you just gave me a Merkin?
I thought about it, but I was like, it's like $30, and what's she gonna do with it?
Wear it. I'm getting laser hair removal now. So.
Oh yeah. So just in case.
Just in case.
If you miss the feeling.
This is better than I could have ever dreamed of. Thank you.
I'm so glad you like it. And I was like, she can't really wear it anywhere. Because the one I wanted to buy, the first one I saw says, ask me about my Merkin. It made me laugh out loud. Then I was like, she can't wear this, like, ever. So
it's like that. What is it? Accepted? Where he's like, ask me about my wiener. Yes.
And then there's also that same design, but one said working in my Merkin, and then one said twerking in my Merkin.
Ooh.
But I went with smirking.
I like that one the best, truly. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Now my birthday cannot be topped.
Yeah, it's complete.
Truly.
Yes. 33?
34.
34?
Yeah.
You're now older than the age of our Lord.
I know.
That's one plus.
We've passed. How that reminds me, though. Remember how, like, you're, you know, just a few months older than me, but you always think that you're, like, 100 years older than me?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're 27? Exactly. So cute of you.
I know. It's because I look so youthful, you know? But I almost sent you this, and then I just was, like, laughing to myself. Let me see if I can find it. When your friend is 1 year older than you.
Like grandmother.
Yes. It made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, that's me.
But
I'm like 6 months older than you.
Not even, maybe. Oh yeah, I guess August. Yeah, six months. But speaking of being older though, I think we've played something on here where a girl was like talking about we look so young because of all the preservatives we've eaten as children. Uh-huh. And Gen Z is aging like avocados or something. So since then, I've seen tons of TikToks where Gen Zs are like, how old do I look? And they, like, everyone's commenting. And I don't say this about every Gen Z, but a lot of them that are doing it do look
older.
Older.
Stop.
And they're like, I'm like, oh, like, I'll be generous, 30. And they're like, I'm 24. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, shouldn't have ate so much organic.
Yeah.
My guy.
Well, but also, like, a lot of Gen Z are, like, doing a lot more fillers younger.
Oh, and, yeah, like, that's true, too.
And I think, too.
Like, Kylie Jenner looks like 40.
I think it looks good if that's, like, what you like. But I also feel like it adds maturity to your face rather than, like, that youthfulness.
Yeah.
I think at some point you cross over a line where it adds youth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it too young, sometimes it, like, makes your face look a little more mature.
Definitely.
Not bad.
No, not bad, but
just mature.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's, like, a combination of, like, maybe they're eating too much organic. Maybe they're doing too much too soon.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's making me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, millennials for the win. Mm-hmm. Again. Just kidding. Millennials never won anything.
We always win. If this is the one thing we win, I'm taking it,
this
okay?
This is it. No participation ribbons. We just win.
Yeah. Also, we've been posting over on TikTok. So if you guys are on TikTok, please follow us.
Yeah, if you're Gen Z and you find yourself on TikTok.
I just reason because I'm trying to catch up. Because I want no... TikTok left behind.
No, okay? You spend so much time on those videos.
So I've been posting old ones on there, and they're just so funny when they come back up for me. But I just posted the one of you talking about your whale dream, and some young man commented, "I wish this was satire."
Today.
I wasn't even upset about
it. I was like, what does that mean?
I almost wrote, "I wish your dick was satire."
I wish you were never born. I know, I saw that and I was like, is that an insult? I'm like,
I'm not upset.
I know, I was like, whatever. It's somebody is engaging with our content and we love to see it.
We love to see it. Unless you're rude. I did have one rude comment that I did delete. Won't even talk about it because it was so rude.
Well,
so
I know. That's what TikTok is, a dumpster fire of people who are not afraid to be assholes.
I was like, whoa. I'm
like, I don't have the stomach to post anything.
What happened to our friends over on Instagram? So Instagram friends, come join us, please.
Yes, please. You got to weigh out that one bad comment. We need 100 good comments
exactly.
to make us forget. Don't you want us to feel nice?
Don't you want us to feel good? Don't you want us to send one prayer to you?
Remember, one comment equals one prayer.
Yeah. You know what? Two prayers.
Yeah, for a limited time only.
I can't be praying all day.
Yeah, for the low, low price of one comment, you get two prayers.
With your name specifically.
Oh, yeah. We'll send it up.
Oh, yeah.
And with our seance friends back here, they'll also do it.
Oh, yeah. We'll pray next to the seance people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so this Beyonce song is huge,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh. I've heard the first 10 seconds like 8,000 right? times. I mean, I don't dislike it. No. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
If she wants to do country, I think that's great. Cool.
But this made me laugh. Let me see if I can find it because it was cracking me up. It was like, oh, you know what? It's on TikTok. People were up in arms about this too because someone was like, when you're from Canada, and they're like, we have that in Canada too, you idiot. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Hey, Canadians.
Calm down,
guys. Go
get
some poutine and relax.
Right? I like just had it and then I was like, I can edit all this out.
So yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah. Okay. So this is when you're Canadian or just whatever, but and trying to figure out why Beyonce's song sounds so familiar. So
this ain't Texas. Franklin the Turtle.
Yes, but wait, it switches over to Franklin's music.
Beyonce, I hope that you pay that turtle his due.
Right?
His, I was like, stealing his mojo.
You know what? She's right. It does sound like the Franklin song. So, kind of funny. Made me laugh.
That is hilarious.
Also, you sent me a few weeks ago, and I have wanted to talk about it ever since, but apparently J-Lo has a new movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where she runs a dance factory.
No, it's like just a factory.
It's a heart factory or something.
The guy who has been posting, like, ruining all of our favorite movies, yes. Like, he tears apart Never Been Kissed.
Mm-hmm.
He did this for J-Lo's movie.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous.
But do I kind of want to watch it?
You do that. I have no interest in watching it. Because it's like, she's like running a heart factory. Here, maybe we just look at it.
Yeah, but there's like 100 like weird things going on in it too.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, the heart is overreacting. What do? Choreography.
Yeah.
So they dance at the heart.
Yes, and they like have so many people in it that I'm like, what?
Yeah, I saw this like, it was like a list of people who turned down J-Lo's movie and it was like so long.
Oh my gosh. I'll post it on our Instagram. Oh, this is me now.
J-Lo's new movie. Where do I begin? If you're curious about the plot, so am I, and I just watched it. J-Lo works in a heart factory, but they don't make hearts at this factory. It's just a factory with one big heart inside. If you're confused, buckle up. The heart starts malfunctioning, and it's about to explode, and, like, everyone's about to die, but they just do choreography, as we do in an emergency. J
So emergency choreography to stop a problem.
Yeah, it gets wilder and wilder. There's like Post Malone in it.
Oh my gosh,
Posty. There's, I mean, oh my gosh, Sofia Vergara. I don't know who that is at the bottom, but...
Yeah, it looks like a lot. And I'm like, what is this? It's apparently about how she was always afraid to be alone.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
So, interesting. We'll if you've seen it, please let us know if it's worthwhile.
Yeah, it's worth watching. But as it stands, after watching that young man's video, I'm like, I'm sorry, no.
Oh, yeah. But don't you, like, a little part of you is curious?
I know, but didn't she also come out with, like, a different movie?
I don't know.
Or, like, a documentary or something? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
J-Lo.
But before we started, we were talking about J-Lo's hit movie, Selena.
Yes!
Because for Patreon this month, we will be covering a Selena documentary.
Yes, we will.
So.
And if you haven't, I just posted our Jared from Subway catching a monster.
If you want to sob tears and go, why?
And never set foot in a Subway ever again.
Go watch it.
Definitely listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Watch the documentary too, I guess. But just listen to what we have to say.
Don't watch it. It's so sad. I mean, the girl is amazing.
But. Yeah. It's good, but the story is terrible. Worse than you can even imagine.
Worse than you can imagine, for sure.
Okay, so Kristen Cavallari has a new boyfriend. Have you been seeing stuff about it? I don't know who that is. She's from The Hills. You'd recognize her if you saw her.
I'm sure.
She's blonde and whatever. She's so hot. Like, she's so beautiful still. Fire. So she has a new boyfriend, and I saw them do a TikTok together, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm super into this. She's like 14 years older than him or something. Yeah. He's like 24, and she's like 36 or something. And I was like, get it, girl. So then I briefly looked at his page and I was like, oh, a football player. I was like, I love a reverse age gap football player NFL romance. But there's a catch. Even though he is very, very attractive, he's actually just a TikToker.
Oh.
They're called the Montana Boys with a Z.
Oh, I've seen them. Yeah. What?
I am way less into it now that I know that he's part of that.
I'm very confused by the Montana Boys. I actually just like they're saved like a TikTok
thirst trap
talking about it. And I was like, wait, what?
He's one of those. And he is super cute.
Yeah, it's like if these Montana Boys had been on the Hills reboot, we definitely wouldn't have been canceled.
It's Spencer. Spencer posted that.
I love Spencer. Pratt Daddy Crystals.
I know. He's something else. But yeah, see, she's so cute. And that's her boyfriend. Not that one.
Yeah, no.
But her boyfriend is really cute.
Yeah.
Even though I am super supportive of her dating a younger man.
Oh, totally.
I really don't like that his occupation is TikTok thirst trap. Yeah. I also don't understand how you make money on TikTok just from videos, but that's just me.
I'm not sure. I don't really... I'm not a good Instagrammer or TikToker.
Right.
So... You're better at it than me.
Oh, I don't do anything.
I'm just impressed.
I'm too scared of TikTok. People are mean over there.
No, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you have teeth? I hate your teeth. You're like, oh, okay.
You're like, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Brutal.
Okay, so tonight we have this jar. One of my girls made it at a church activity and it has like slips of paper on it and they're questions.
Yeah.
And so we do it at dinner time and it's just open-ended questions like, where would you want to live if you lived anywhere else? Whatever. And one of them was, if you could choose your own name, what would you choose? And we almost named Kate Tess, and she's always known that, and she likes that name. And she was like, oh, I would name Tess like testicles. And Todd could not. I was like, do you know what testicles are? And she's like, no.
You're like, you don't want to.
I know. And I told her. She's like, oh, like Chip. Like our dog has testicles. And I was like,
Yes.
And then the next question was like, who is your first hero? And Kate's like, oh, Dad. And I was like, sweet. And then Millie's like, mine was Mom because she, I came out of her butt.
You're like, yes.
I was like, yeah, it was quite heroic.
Wow. Christine, you never told us about your butt delivery.
Yeah, it was the world's first butt birth.
Because you had a vaginal, a C-section, and then you went for a V-back, but you just went for the back.
They're like, how did she end up there? And I was like, You don't want to know.
You're like, you don't want to know. But let me tell you, I can get this baby out because I'm a pro pooper.
And I'm going to be her hero for it. Give me 7 years and I've earned the title.
I'm going to make you a plaque.
Thank you. Yeah. I was like, yes, I did do that. Yes, I'm proud of it.
Maybe an anatomy lesson later.
Maybe. Yes. So I have like all of these drawers and they got really like cluttered. And so I said I would take Jocelyn and her friends all to the gas station if they would organize the drawers for me. And one of the drawers had this book in it that I bought for like when Jocelyn was learning about maturation, and it was called It's Not a Stork. Oh. And it's like really awkward and embarrassing. And all the girls were like, oh my gosh, look at this book. And I was like, guys, it's fine.
You're like, you guys all know about it.
I know. One of my friends recently, I don't know how it came up. Oh, because somebody talked to them about 69 at school. And they were 12.
Yeah.
And so she comes home and she's like, what does that mean? And she's like, do you really want to know? And she said, yes. So then she told her what it is. And then she was like, trying not to make it weird. She's like, everybody does it. People across the street do it. Your teacher does it. Everyone's doing it. I was like,
that doesn't make it weird. That makes it so much more normal.
Every time you see your neighbor pulling the trash can to your street, they're like, ew. Why did you say that?
Not Mrs. Smith.
I know. I'm like, I see what you're doing with that, trying to make it like normalized. It's normalized.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that. I mean, I feel like I'd rather that than not talking to them about
it. It's true. You know? It's true. Yeah. Because that was my growing up.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to guess what it is. That's
a lot of child growing up in our generation.
Nobody's going to tell you. You just have to guess.
Surprise.
Yes. So you learn about it from some dumb girl in the locker room and it's like not correct at all. And you're like, yeah, people do give birth out of their butts.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's going to be Millie. I will never correct her.
I love it. I love that for you guys.
Anyway, do you have anything else?
Let me see. I think I had just one more thing. Oh, here in Utah, it's been kind of a crazy time. If you guys haven't seen the posts of our tumbleweeds.
So many.
It's aggressive.
I posted one yesterday. We'll have to reshare it to her. Oh,
that one? We'll share that one. And there was a TikTok that I came across that had somebody's house and they were like, they had birds flying around and they put it to, did you ever watch Schitt's Creek?
I mean, parts of it.
It's like Moira in her bird movie, and it's so funny, the audio. It's like,
that is a shit ton of birds.
Yeah.
We best be returning to the lab, Nathaniel. It's getting dark.
I've seen so many, like, those, like, swarms of birds.
Totally.
Kind of freak me out, but they're really pretty.
Yeah. So we'll post both of those so you can know what it looks like where we live. It's beautiful. It's stunning.
Yeah, they're like, book a trip today. Like, what is this hellscape? Right. The tumbleweeds were like stacked up to the roof of their house. They were like caught in on front the front of
every house, especially like where my parents live. It's aggressive there. I'm sure even here.
No, we didn't get any.
Really? It was bad where we were at, but it was like so bad in Daybreak. We just drove there on Sunday and there were dumpsters like every 10 feet filled, and they were still all over the street.
Yes, because I'm like, what do you do? Because they're just like a pokey cloud. Like,
yes,
you can't, like, I guess you could smash them. I'm like, what do you do with them?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can't really touch them without gloves on because they're spiky.
Yeah, so somebody's been clearing the roads there, but it's like,
I saw in the video I posted a plow, like a snow plow, goes down a road and gets lost.
Totally.
Like, they come up over the car.
It's so bad. So that's been kind of fun.
Yeah. Super fun. I'm really glad they didn't happen here. No, thank you.
Yeah. Do we need to talk about Haley Baldwin's sister at all?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. I forgot about that. I thought my post was really funny.
I was laughing so hard. And you guys, I am on my period right now, so I kind of feel like I'm trying to join her.
Oh, yes.
You know,
you guys are cycling together. We're cycling together. Feminine rage.
Yes. So I've been thinking about like lassoing some bad guys. Oh, my gosh.
Flicking it around and it's spattering all over.
Yes.
So what happened was Haley Baldwin's sister, whose name I don't know, she got in an altercation at a club with a bartender and she threw a used tampon at them.
My question is, did she reach into her pants / dress
skirt
and just pull it out and fling it straight and warm from the hole?
Luckily, it wasn't still dry.
Well, yeah.
She's like, hang on. Hold on.
It's kind of stuck a little. Nothing worse than pulling out a dry really tampon. Really is
so painful. You guys all know. Cohen, my nephew. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
The whole time.
Yeah. Just turn this off.
Turn this off, buddy.
But wear your sweatshirt.
Yeah, wear your sweatshirt. And I need to give him business cards or something.
I love it.
But yeah, so she threw a used tampon at this bartender and he, I'm assuming it was a dude, pressed charges or something.
I mean.
I was like, she is just doing her part. She's being a part of the red circle. And what did that man do to deserve it?
And yeah, like, let's flip this. You know, people are like, oh, what was she wearing? What was he doing? What was he wearing?
Yeah. He did. He must have said something to ignite her feminine rage so much to go full cavewoman and throw her menstrual stuff at him.
Does he even know what women pay for vampire facials?
Does he even know? He would be so lucky.
Wow. He should be honored.
You should really enjoy that because that is Edward Cullen's favorite tea bag.
Absolutely. And
dumping in a cup.
The Baldwin sisters have flawless skin. I have to believe it has something to do with menstruation.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it. I've heard that.
You heard it here first. What's the secret to their youthful glow?
Menstrual cup straight to the face.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, yeah. Also, her dad sparked rumors
because she weird.
Asked Christians. He's like, Christians, when you pray, please pray for Haley and Justin. Everyone's like, why? No reason. He didn't give a reason as far as I know.
But I'm like, why would you do that? That's all that's going to do is spread rumors.
I know. People are like, what? Are they sick? Are they dying? What's happening?
Are they divorcing? Do they like hate each other? Like, I feel like they've already had so much press around them. They don't need more.
I know. Like, okay, dad, just zip it. Yeah. All right, we're 25 minutes.
All right.
Hey.
All righty. Well, gear up, my friend.
I'm scared.
You shouldn't be. Okay. You should.
I'm...
You should be middle medium terrified.
Oh, I'm just anxious then. Okay. This is familiar territory.
You shouldn't know how to feel.
So just regular then. All right.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh. Real quick. I saw this TikTok that was like, it was John Travolta when he's like looking around. Have you seen that? He's like got his ponytail. Yes. He's like doesn't know where he's going.
It's him in Pulp Fiction.
Yes, it's that, but it's like inside the human body and it's like the anxiety pill trying to decide where to go first.
It's like, oh no. He's like, there's too much
where
stuff.
Where do I even start? That's me right now, I guess.
I love it.
Because of your story.
Okay. On the east coast of the UK lies a forest. Some may say an enchanted forest. I don't.
Mm. I'm just thinking I would never. Moss.
Yeah.
It's giving moss so far.
Sure. Yeah, it's called Rendlesham Forest. And in your mind's eye, this is a forest with many pine trees. Do you know what a pine tree is?
I sure do.
Wow, good. It's a tree that doesn't have leaves. It has needles.
It looks like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it doesn't grow fruit. It grows cones. Pine cones.
Nice.
I mean, don't those pine cones produce pine nuts? Sometimes you use them in a salad.
Oh yeah, I love a pine nut.
I love a pine nut. Oh my gosh.
Thank you, pine trees.
Yeah. But, you know, also in the forest, there's like walnut trees, some wetlands. So, yeah, moss and whatever.
Woodland and, creatures.
Yeah, elves, gnomes.
I was thinking, yeah, like a deer, a squirrel.
Oh, not mythical woodland creatures.
No, like we could go Snow White.
Squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel. Yeah. What are they called in Snow White? Dwarves?
The Seven Dwarves. Yeah, sure. So this is in the county of Suffolk.
Okay.
I can't pronounce anything Suffolk. Even in the UK. Okay?
Okay.
But to the north of the forest is a military base, the Royal Air Force Bentwaters. And extending into the forest from the west is the Royal Air Force Woodbridge Military Base. And this is the setting where a series of reported sightings and unexplained lights that became linked with UFO landings. That's right. I'm going to tell you about a UFO sighting.
So everyone get your fish and chips.
Yeah.
And your crisps.
And your tinfoil hats.
Yes.
And decide with us once again, do aliens exist?
Still up in the air for me.
Still up in the air.
Like a UFO.
I went to Dutch Bros the other day, and the guy was like, question for you. The question of the day we're asking everyone is, do aliens exist? And I said, I don't know. And he's like, really? And I was like, I don't think so. And he says, but why? And I was like, why has no one been able to get a clear picture?
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Then like, we have 4K TVs.
He dumped your coffee all over your head. He's like, you're wrong.
He was just like, well, maybe, I'm not saying they've come here yet, though. He's like, but are they out there? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm still just a middle medium.
Why would they come here? This here sucks.
Right? Especially, I don't know. New Mexico?
I know. Why is that, like, what's so interesting there?
I'm sure you're lovely, New Mexico. I don't know who's listening from there, but...
But, like, why wouldn't you go to, like, Paris, the city of lights?
Exactly. Like, I would say the same thing if... I mean, because we do have the... What is it? Skinwalker Ranch here, where people were like... which, you guys, I did cover that, and that was a great episode. We talked about...
It was.
Like, butthole rings. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really.
Aliens were coming down exciting. And just stealing cow buttholes.
Yeah.
But they come...
I really like them as fashion accessories. It's
really
weird.
They do. They could come to Utah just to check out the tumbleweeds now that we mentioned it. I mean...
But again, I'm like, Utah? The canyon?
Yeah.
It is pretty, but like, there's better places.
Right? Exactly.
Better places
for go to the Wall of China. That's probably really cool from the air.
Incredible. It's like miles long.
Like, you can actually, they can see it from space. They don't have to come down to get a glimpse.
Right.
But they will go to Suffolk in the UK.
Yeah, into this forest. Okay?
Perfect.
So, this occurrence is the most famous of alleged UFO events to have happened in the United Kingdom and is among the best known reported, like one of the best known reported UFO events worldwide. It has become compared to the Roswell UFO incidents in the US and is sometimes called Roswell, which is actually why I decided to cover it because I was actually listening to a podcast about Roswell the other day.
Yeah, Roswell is nuts.
Right? And I'm like, that one feels a little overwhelming for me to cover, but this one didn't, apparently.
This one was perfect.
The UK Roswell is where it's at. Mm-hmm. So, December 26, 1980, at 3 a.m.
Witching hour.
I know. On Boxing Day? Maybe they came to get some good deals.
They're like, we know that everything's on sale.
Absolutely. So, a security patrol near the east gate of the Royal Air Force Woodbridge... the lights were seen, apparently descending into the nearby Rendlesham Forest. Now, this Air Force base at the time, even though it's in the UK, was being used by the United States Air Force. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the servicemen initially thought that it was a downed aircraft, according to Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt. They entered the forest to investigate, which when they witnessed a glowing object that was metallic in appearance with colored lights. As they attempted to approach the object, it appeared to move through the trees, and the animals on a nearby farm went into a frenzy.
Oh my. See, what did we talk about a couple weeks ago with animals?
They know stuff.
They know.
They know if you have a tumor. They know if
you're an alien nearby.
They know it. I believe it. They know if there's a stranger standing outside your window peering in.
Ah, they do. They know if a tsunami's coming.
Yeah. Did you see that video I posted where the guy was on a cruise ship and he walked up to a window and there was a face?
Oh, yes.
I watched it probably 20 times. I laughed so hard.
So funny.
That's what dogs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they know the face is there.
Yes.
So another serviceman, Sergeant Jim Pennison, later claimed to have encountered a craft of unknown origin in the forest. But of course, there were no other reports of this and no other witnesses. It's always how it happens.
Yeah.
So not long after 4 a.m., the police were called to the scene, but the only lights that they reported to see were the ones coming from the Orfordness Lighthouse that was miles away and on the coast. Like, Americans, that's a lighthouse, you dumb idiots. So once the sun came up that morning on the 26th, the servicemen returned to a small clearing on the eastern edge of the forest and found three small impressions on the ground in a triangular pattern. So like one, two, three. Perfect.
Like the legs of a flying saucer.
Exactly. They landed down. They also noticed as they got there that there were burn marks on trees and broken branches.
Yeah. Telltale signs.
That's the problem. Okay. And then at 10:30, the local police were called out again to see this new evidence that they found. And the police thought that it looked like it could have been made by an animal, like the prints.
They're like, you know, all of the animals that have triangle feet.
Well, so at first I was like, yeah, what animal makes triangular pattern tracks? Like, I was thinking it was like going to be like a sharp triangle.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. I looked at pictures and it does look like it could be animal prints.
Okay.
But as I looked at it further.
Mm-hmm.
They started to look like that triangle Star Trek symbol to me.
Oh, shit.
And so I thought, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's Spock.
Yes.
Spock is here.
Spock.
Live long and prosper.
Yes.
Okay.
We're live long and prospering at each other.
Double.
Watch me.
It's kind of tricky sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it as fast as you. Anyway. Okay. So, Spock is in the UK.
Whoa.
It's his favorite place. So, there's photographs of the prints, and they were taken, and a woman named Georgia Bruni, that she published the photos in her book called You Can't Tell the People.
Ominous.
I know. And then on December 28th, the deputy base commander, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, visited the site again with several men early that morning, and again they saw more events similar to the things that went on the 26th. Farm animals freaking out, flashing lights were descending upon them. And Charles then described three mysterious illuminations, saying they looked like stars hovering just above the horizon with an occasional stream of light beaming down from them.
Beam me up, Scotty!
Right?
Have you? It's a Star Trek.
I don't watch Star Trek.
I think it is Star Trek.
No, just go with it. Just pretend. Okay.
Satire.
Ha, ha, ha.
Gotcha, TikTok man.
Have you seen that Unsolved Mysteries, though, where they, like, these three people who live in this, like, small town who don't know each other. Like, I guess it's not that small, but, like, a smallish town. They don't know each other, but all three of them report that they were abducted by aliens.
What?
I'll have to find that episode.
Is it one of the new ones or is it old one?
It's one of the newer ones. And it freaks me out. Like, I still don't know if I believe in aliens or not, right. But, like, I don't like the fact that three separate people came to authorities and told them the same story and they have no like, connection to each other.
I've been probed.
They're like, that was just your boyfriend. And it's not right. You need consensual probing.
And you better start preparing for that butt birth you're going to have to do.
Oh, a surprise butt birth is never what you want.
It's not, but you have to be prepared.
You do. Always prepare. So how do you prepare for that? Could you tell us some of the things you did?
I can't. I'm not at liberty to discuss.
You just practice squatting and bearing down.
Squatty potties were involved.
Perfect. Okay. So I... Okay. Occasional stream of light beaming down from them. So I think that they were also talking about, like, that they were doing radiation readings of the triangles on the ground, but it kept giving me like these numbers. They're like, it was 0.7 ml radiation. And I was like,
I don't know. Does
that mean? So then I like typed it into Google and it came up with an even more scientific explanation. I was like,
you're like, talk to me like I'm five.
I can't begin to describe this. I would read it and people would be like, what are you saying to me? So I just didn't even go for it.
Really dumb it down
but
for
they,
us.
But they did radiation samples.
Okay.
And it sounds like there was something
it was high.
To be observed.
Okay. It was notable.
It was notable. It was high or low. And that made them think that maybe something was not right or perfectly right.
Wow. That was really helpful.
Yeah. It's about how I felt. So during both of these sightings, Charles Holt actually took voice memos of his experiences and he sent them into the UK's Ministry of Defense. But there have been many rumors, but the general public didn't really know about what was going on that December. However, one morning, a man who was a forestry worker named Vince Thurkettle.
That's so British.
It is.
Thurkettle.
Yeah. He loves tea.
Oh, loves tea.
And he was out chopping wood. And one morning in the forest in late December, when a car pulls up and two men in their 30s hop out dressed in suits.
Oh, shit.
We know where this is going. The men they begin to question him on whether he saw anything these nights. Men in black.
Uh-huh.
Galaxy defenders.
That was them.
Mm-hmm.
It was Will Smith and the other guy.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yep. And then he slapped him. He says, keep the alien's name out of your effing mouth.
Don't say a word. Okay, so they began asking him questions on whether he saw anything on these nights that were in question. They asked him if he had been out the previous night, and he said he wasn't. So they asked if he left the house and, like, at all, and if he saw anything that, and he was, like, super confused. He's like, what? And so they informed him. They said, oh, there's just a report of some red lights in the forest. We're just checking. And he said the two of them politely but firmly asked him about 20 questions, and he thought that they were just journalists. They all of a sudden stopped their questioning and let them know, like, okay. He's like, they're like, okay, there's probably nothing in it. And they just left. After that, Vince was super curious, so he bought papers every day for the next few weeks to see if he could see what was possibly going on. But there was nothing ever reported.
Mm-hmm.
He did, however, start to hear rumors of a UFO sighting in the area. And even his, like, he started to ask his boss, because his boss, like, works in the forest with him. He's a forestry worker. And so he's like, can you bring me to the site that, like, everyone's talking about? So he said that rumors that he started to hear, So the rumors that he started to hear and the two visitors that he got came before Colonel Holt even submitted his recording to the Ministry of Defense. That's a little bit of a strange thing.
Yeah, because they're not supposed to know.
Yeah, because, like, the ministry doesn't know, so it shouldn't be, like, government officials out questioning about this yet.
How did they know?
And there shouldn't be rumors about it because it's, like, these are military people. It's not, like...
Yeah, it's not, like, town gossips.
So it's interesting. Just an interesting thing to know. Right. Also, he's like, I think these people are...
City of Beatrice's. Gossipy little things.
Right? We hate that place. But it was interesting because, yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, those are the men in black. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I think that they're just journalists, but it still feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
And even he agrees. There's some things off about this. So... when he goes out into the forest with his boss to, like, check out this site that he hears all the rumors of, he described a very normal-looking glade with what he describes as three rabbit scrapes that were carefully marked, and they happen to be in a triangle shape. So he's like, those are rabbit prints.
Okay.
I don't know. Thumper was in there thumping away triangles.
Yeah. You'd think they'd be pretty big, though, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But, like, they really are small, which is funny. They were like...
Was it a drone traveling back in the past? Time travel.
New theory unlocked. Yeah. You've solved it.
You heard it here first.
Well, case closed, guys. We don't even need to finish it up.
Job here is done.
So, he said that if they had been out at night and saw a light and came back in the daytime looking for something, he could totally understand why they said, oh, this must be it. And he says, but as a countryman, born and bred, he saw nothing unusual.
Okay.
And he said, they saw lots of things like broken branches, but a forest is full of broken branches.
Sure is.
But 3 years later, the sighting made news as a front page story. And the article was titled UFO Lands in Suffolk. And that's official.
It's official.
It's official.
It's in the papers.
Mm-hmm. And this story was released by the U.S. government. And it was the story basically outlined the whole encounter with the apparent UFO in the forest. And after that, Rendlesham Forest became the UFO capital of the UK.
So exciting.
Yeah. And just like Roswell, the forest capitalized on the fame, and the Forestry Commission created a UFO trail in the forest and even features a model of what the American servicemen claimed to have seen. Like, there's like a model UFO in the forest. And
like, it looked just like this.
It's amazing. So, but the question always remained, was this actually an encounter with an extraterrestrial object?
It's always the question.
Always the question. So Colonel Halt really did believe that that's what he saw. He actually went on record again in 2010 to state that it was real and that the US and UK government covered it up. He even signed an affidavit.
Shit.
Yeah. So obviously there's many people who believe that a UFO descended into the forest, while many people are very skeptical, as always.
Mm.
And you can always find 1 million things that explain away what people saw. Absolutely. You just can.
Mm-hmm.
So around the time the glowing object was seen descending into the forest, a meteor, they wrote, called by astronomers, a fireball.
Fireball!
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So a meteor was recorded over the southern point of England. Fireballs are often linked with a spike in UFO reports. And apparently one fell from the sky that night and was said to be, like, it could have been a misidentification, basically.
Still a UFO.
Still a UFO. Aliens definitely travel on meteors, I believe it.
I mean, that one cult, like Heaven's Gate?
Yeah.
Could have been them.
They were just trying to pick up their members in the forest. So even though the flashing beam of white that they saw when they first entered the forest, they thought that it could be the lighthouse. This is another thing, right?
Yeah.
So they see this flashing light and they're like, oh, it's got to be that lighthouse, which they did say sometimes would shine in the direction of the forest. Like, it has done that before.
Okay.
Because usually a lighthouse isn't going to shine like onto the land. It's going to shine out to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But people have seen it shine backwards.
Well, yeah, doesn't the light...
I'm not sure. I don't really live near a lighthouse.
Right. I thought they kind of like circled.
I have a really gross lake by my house and we just don't lighthouses.
Because it's like 4 feet deep.
And nobody wants to be in
and
there.
And it's full of algae that will kill your dog.
Algae bloom. Not good. I think they've tried to clear it up, but I don't know if they've ever been successful.
We went boating on that lake and I don't know why. Because it's so shallow that, like, our mm-hmm. motor was just churning up mud. So, like, everywhere yeah. looked like chocolate milk. It was super nasty.
Yeah. Well, one time I heard a rumor that I don't believe this is true, but I did for a little bit. And even if it's not, it still freaks me out. That, like, where the lake, like, the shallowest part of the lake is, mm-hmm. there used to be farmland. And so, like, cows would roam there. Mm-hmm. But then the lake came up. And so there's a bunch of dead cow bodies.
Ah.
And so if you fall off your boat, you could step through a cow. And people have.
No.
I don't know if they have, but that's the rumor I heard. And I don't want to ever be in that lake again.
First of all, I love the rumor. Second of all, I hate the lake.
I hate the lake. I hate the thought of stepping through a cow body.
It is. That's worse than a cow butthole alien situation.
What if you stepped through the cow's butthole?
When then your foot got stuck.
Aww. Caught you just like a fish. You were the bait.
It's a trap. Why are we talking about butt so much?
It's our brand, okay?
I don't want it to be, but it just is.
So, the lighthouse. So even police Oh, so even the police that were called in on the first night reported to see the light from the lighthouse, as you remember. Mm-hmm. So, and also even Vince Thurkettle was explaining away, like, the broken branches and the impressions on the ground. He even was like, even if you saw burnt stuff, like, forests catch fire, there's going to be, like, burned branches.
Yeah.
This is not unusual. But there's always the flip side. Vince does say there is still an element of mystery to what happened to those three guys on the first night. He still finds a little baffling. So he says, so maybe they did see something that was unexplainable. Okay, we've heard accounts of General or Colonel Holt, right?
Okay.
So, but he's not the only account we have. Oh. So one of the guards that were with him was a man named John Burroughs, and he went to investigate the sightings and says that when he first saw a beacon in the distance in the forest with green, red, orange, and white lights. That's too many lights to be a lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right?
Green, red, orange.
Yeah, and he said that he and his colleagues approached, and they saw a white light suddenly explode and a red oval sunlight object in the clearing. It lifted up through the trees and shot back towards the coast.
It's not good.
Yeah, you don't see moving light like that too often. Mm-mm. John Burroughs served in the U.S. Armed Forces for 27 years, and he says it's been crazy 40 years since the encounter. Just when you think the story is over, another thing happens. He says he never went on record to say that it was a spaceship because he didn't know, but what he saw was some sort of energy or plasma, which could be a form of intelligence, he said.
Plasma.
He saw the Ghost Rider from the 90s movies. The 90s TV show Ghost Rider.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, that I'm like, what?
I don't understand. So John also reported to hear a noise like a woman screaming, and that you could also hear the farm animal was making a lot of noises. He also heard the same noises two nights later, but some say that that could have been made by a muntjac deer in the forest, who are known for their shrill bark when alarmed.
Well, you've heard, like, mountain lions who are in heat. Oh, they're
so scary.
Yeah, they can make some creepy sounds. Did you see that dog I posted on my stories last week?
Yes. They're
like, this is when the police got called about a man, like, in agony, in agonizing pain, and it's like this dog who's yelling.
It's like one of those, that's his, like, bark. Yeah.
It's like a French bulldog.
Like a terrier dog. Yeah, yeah. A French terrier, a bulldog. I don't know, but it was like.
Yeah, his name's Walter.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I went and watched all the videos. They're all like that. Because I was like, oh, did they like do a voiceover of like what the dog, or like, is it a filter of the dog's bark? No, that's what he sounds like. He sounds like a yelling, dying man.
Would you hate to live next to that dog? Oh, I would gosh, be so annoyed.
Oh, I would have to rehome the dog. There's absolutely no way.
To someone who lives in the forest, because no way.
No way.
Oh.
Dog's barking is annoying enough, but that it sounds like straight yelling.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so in 1983, there was an Omni article. This has got to be like a UK paper or something.
Okay.
That says that Colonel Ted Conrad, a base commander, recalls 5 Air Force policemen who spotted lights from what they thought was a small plane descending into the forest. 2 of the men tracked the object on foot and came upon a large tripod-mounted craft. It had no windows, but it was studded with brilliant red and blue lights. Each time the men came within 50 yards of the ship, Conrad relates, it levitated 6 feet in the air and backed away.
Oh my.
They followed it for almost an hour through the woods and across the field until it took off at a phenomenal speed, acting on the reports made by his men. So Colonel Conrad began a brief investigation of the incident in the morning. He went into the forest and located a triangular pattern to be made by the tripod legs. He did interview 2 of the eyewitnesses and concludes that those lads saw some. I don't know what it was.
Mm.
Weird.
Yeah.
So these are just like other instances. And then
they're all describing something very similar.
Right? An official in the military of defense was the first to investigate Colonel Holt's memo. He said that nearly all the reports that they usually get from UFO sightings come from the public. So it was very unusual that this one came from a military source.
Yeah.
Because people in the military typically know what, like, other planes look like, or, yeah, you know.
And they usually don't talk about it. Like, yeah. It's like classified or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and you think if you're working on a base, like if something strange was coming into the atmosphere, you'd probably know of it coming in. Or,
right.
I don't know. He said that once they had been through all the basic checks, though, and found that there was nothing to be seen on the radar. And there was no obvious explanation or threats to air defense. And so they decided that there was no need for further action. But I mean, if there was really an alien here on Earth, I don't think they would show up on radar. Probably anyway,
not.
Right?
Probably not.
That's what I would assume.
They're so intelligent.
They're so smart. So over the years, especially where they can't even show up on a camera, they're not going to show up on a radar, okay? So over the years, other theories have been proposed as to what the American servicemen saw. Some claim it was a downed Soviet space satellite because it was at the height of the Cold War during this time.
Yeah, those Soviets.
Exactly. Others think that it was the military secretly experimenting with energy fields in the forest.
Hmm.
And even one former U.S. security policeman claimed responsibility for causing it by modifying the lights on his police vehicle while driving around the forest.
Okay.
I was like, I believe that guy the least.
Yeah, he's like, I was just driving through the meadow in my car.
And I was like, you know what? Let's try a different pattern of lights. I was like, I don't even believe you know how to do that with your lights.
You can't drive over tree stumps and broken sticks. And
I'm like, what does he have, like those lights that everyone gets installed on their house where you can set everyone to a different color? He's like, let's try red, orange, yellow, blue.
Yeah. In the 80s?
Yeah.
No.
Don't believe it, man. Lights like that would cost $1 million and they'd burn out in 30 seconds.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. Colonel Ted Conrad in 2010 said that Colonel Holt should be ashamed and embarrassed by his allegation that his country and Britain both conspired to deceive their citizens over this issue, because he's like, they're covering it up, you know?
Yeah.
And he knows, so he knows better, and disputed the testimony of Jim Pennison, who claimed to have touched an alien spacecraft. He said that he interviewed Pennison at the time and he had not mentioned any such occurrence, suggesting that the entire incident may have been a hoax. Anyway, What do you think? I just think, regardless of if it's true or not, I think it would be so frustrating to believe you saw something and try to convince everyone else that you saw it, unless you're literally just like trying to get attention.
Right.
But if he genuinely feels like he saw it and he's like willing to sign an affidavit and stuff.
Yeah.
Like even 40 years later, how frustrating would it be to be like, I know what I saw?
It would make you feel crazy.
It would. And you know what? When some people see a UFO and you're like, yeah, you look like the kind of person who would see a UFO.
Totally.
But he's like in the military. Right? Like, probably pretty serious guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the fact that he's like sticking to it all these years later.
I know.
It'd probably be easier for like all the stories I've heard. It's easier for them to be like, I was lying. Just because like people who see UFOs get like so much criticism and like negative attention and...
That's why, like, I've got to find that episode of the Unsolved Mysteries, because I think everyone should go watch it, because it just weirds you out enough that you're like...
You're like, huh, there's something. What?
And I'm like, but what would they gain from this is my question.
Right.
And, like, are they scared of us? Like, is that why they don't want us to be seen? Do they think we're too stupid that they're like, we don't even want to interact with these people?
I know. Well, I don't know, with all of the news of the governors and whatever being like, yeah, aliens are real, confirmed in the court of law.
I know. And I think that's like, the funny thing, like, with, because I told you I listened to a podcast on Roswell, is like, there's all these shows and like all these rumors with Roswell and all this stuff, and it was kind of just like, no, and then like, yeah, everyone's coming out and they're like, yeah, really is. And it's like,
now I believe
everyone's kind of like, I don't believe it, or they're just kind of like, whatever.
I know,
it's super interesting. It's like, they waited. Like, if it's true, it's like they waited until they knew we, like, had the least amount of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, did you ever watch Scandal?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
It's like a diversion, because they're like, don't look at this big news thing. Look over here. Now we're saying aliens are real.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So my sources for this were Wikipedia, a BBC.com article, Rendlesham Forest, UFO, Are We Any Closer to the Truth 40 Years On by Nick Rigby, and a history.co.uk, What Happened at the Rendlesham Forest Incident, Britain's Answer to Roswell.
That's it. Very good.
Thank you.
We need to cover more aliens.
I know. I was like, I just think it's weird. And like I said, I don't know what to believe, but I want to hear more.
Yeah.
So I can decide.
Yes, because some are probably more believable than others.
Totally.
Okay. My story this week. Okay, so we all know diseases are contagious.
Ugh.
Right?
Don't we all?
Don't we all know it? But what is even more contagious than that?
Love.
No.
STDs. I guess that's a disease.
It's a disease. Fear.
Oh.
Panic.
Pandemonium.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So over history, there have been lots of different panics.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time on the show. We got the witch trials, for instance. Mm-hmm. Panic, panic, panic.
Yeah.
Smart women must be burned.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. We have satanic panic.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, it is.
My favorite of the panics.
It is quite interesting. We even have Momo a couple years ago. Ooh. She caused lots of panic.
She still causes me panic. Not the actual Momo challenge. I mean, that kind of is like, if that's real, that's creepy. But the lady with the hanging boobs.
Yes.
She Ooh, has I such panic a every time
great,
I see her.
Great rack.
Yeah.
And the other one that gets less airtime was the New England vampire panic.
No.
Yes. So in your mind's eye, mm-hmm. let us ponder upon all of our favorite vampires. We have Dracula, the Cullen family,
Aww.
And all their shiny ass skin and whack ass wigs and creepy and their ass baby.
Big, huge stairs.
They're big ass stairs. There nobody sleeps. They're like a whole thing. And then you've got Vampire Diaries crew, like Damon Salvatore. Did you ever watch that?
I never watched it, but I've heard all the people talk.
I mean, definitely don't watch it now, but in its time, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It was like at the same time, like Pretty Little Liars was
yes.
out.
And yes.
Like all of that. For
yes.
sure.
And then we've got Interview with a Vampire, mm-hmm. Brad Pitt, and oh. a blonde Tom Cruise.
I love that movie.
And a baby infant Kirsten Dunst.
Aww.
She was so little.
I forgot about that.
You know what? I actually haven't seen the whole movie. I've just seen clips of it. Like,
you've got to watch it.
It's been on TV, and then I was like, vampire scary. They do look creepy.
But it's
good. It was like when Brad Pitt had his long hair mm-hmm. in his like Legends of the Fall days. It
yeah.
seems like the same time. Oh, yep. So handsome.
You should go back.
And then we it. Also have Lady Gaga in American Horror Story Hotel, which mm-hmm. I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
And she's a vampire?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I Googled it and she came up, so.
I forgot about it, but yeah. There's so much going on in that season that it's like really hard to remember. Mm. But she is a vampire.
Understand. So who is your favorite vampire?
Definitely Jasper.
Why was his face in my head?
Yeah. I always love the things where they're like, there is no way that everyone in that school wasn't like, what the hell is up with Jasper?
I know. And why does Alice like him? He has like, his personality is being like, terrified.
The weirdest.
Yeah, his face like, is he scared? Is he mad?
Ugh.
What is his face?
Right?
The makeup, the wigs.
Ugh.
Mm. If you haven't read Twilight.
Or the guy from the Volturi who has like oh the old face and the long black hair.
Yes. Yes. What is up with that?
Those okay. are my favorites.
So.
Renesmee.
That's why I brought up the creepy ass baby.
I know. It's so bad. Okay. I'm actually sad I didn't name Kira Renesmee.
It's not too late. She's not going to remember.
You're right. Why not change it? Only if you rename all three of your daughters Renesmee.
There'd be Renesmee, Alice, more. Just all Collins.
No, just all Renesmee.
Bella. Okay. I should get a dog and name it Renesmee.
Please do. It's so funny. Has to have one
so
with like a really
If you
weird
were going to smash your mom's and Jared's mom's names together, what would it be?
I don't even know.
So what are they?
Tracy and Diane.
Treyanne?
Sure.
Treyanne or Dicey? Mine would be Claire and Cindy. It'd be Clindy.
It's a little too familiar.
Yeah, it sounds like something. Did you see that video of the girl, the mom, Clydia?
Yes. She's all offended.
She's like, my son's name is Connoria, so I understand. Like, Connoria. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, so back to the vampire panic.
Yeah.
It all began in some unfortunate New England villages as tuberculosis, or back in the day, they called it consumption. Mm. It ravaged entire families and communities. It is a bacterial lung disease, which spreads very easily among, like, family members and has horrible symptoms. It's like fevers, you get, like, a pale complexion, sunken in eyes, and in some cases, you cough up blood from your mouth.
Yeah. Did you see me post that video of that girl who was doing, like, tuberculosis makeup or whatever?
No.
I'll find it.
Okay. Yeah, and it is, like, a really slow, terrible death. Mm. Almost as if the life was gradually being drained out of them.
Yeah. You just got to see this real quick. Because it's like when people used to want to look like they had tuberculosis.
Oh, yeah. Red, sunken in eyes. Oh, blue tinge because you're just not getting enough oxygen. Mm-hmm. Sunken in under eyes, but... Oh, you can see her veins in her face. She did blue veins. And, like, pale lips. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. You have to share that.
I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I guess I missed it. You have to share it again.
I will.
So, it earned the name consumption, because I never understood why you would say that. I'm like, that sounds like you drank all the alcohol, and you died from that, to me.
Yeah.
But it's for the way that it caused dramatic weight loss so severe.
Oh,
like it was consuming you. It was consuming you.
Oh.
It claimed 2% of the region's population from 1786 to 1800. So it killed perhaps 25% of the East Coast's citizens.
Yikes.
Yep. So
that's not great.
They're like, imagine a communicable disease a great deal slower to manifest than, like, COVID-19, with symptoms even more ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like... And it says, one that did not explode through a population, leaving its wake the dead and those who survived through good fortune or natural immunity, then to disappear and become latent. So it would, like, go away, but then come back.
Oh, totally.
A disease that instead, once it grasped a person, it could go in and out of remission over a month, a period, months, or years. Well,
it just looks like it would, like, you would get it, and then, like, you would, like, wither away and, like, cough up blood, and then, like...
Apparently you could come back.
Yeah, you'd be like, fine, and then all of a sudden it comes back. And
yeah,
then...
I guess it's kind of like a chronic illness or something.
Totally.
I don't know.
Isn't that what Randall's brother died of or something? Outlander?
Maybe.
I don't know. I just remember him coughing up blood at the end.
Yeah, it was really sad, actually.
It was.
Okay, so there's a cemetery in Belchertown, Massachusetts, on the morning of July 21st, 1788. Justice Forward, that's his name.
Of the town?
No, that's the name of a man. He is a Congregationalist minister. He stopped before his 21-year-old daughter's grave, surrounded by his... church followers, his parishioners.
Yeah.
And he signaled to start digging. So he just points at the ground.
Justice Forward.
Mm-hmm. And his name is, like, Just Us, not, like, Justice in the court of law. I was going
to say, that sounds very American.
Yeah.
And, but Just Us Forward. That's a little forward of him.
I know. Did he change his last name? It was, like, probably something really difficult to say in English. And so now he's like, Just Us Forward.
No.
Okay. So the Reverend Forward, the man who said start digging, had been the father of 8 children, and 3 had died of an illness that turned them pale and thin and eventually filling their lungs up with blood, slowly suffocating them, which was tuberculosis.
Yeah.
And now another daughter had just begun coughing up blood. And he's like, well, I have to get to the bottom of this, because this is back before germ theory. They did not understand how illness spread.
They really didn't know.
Which blows my mind, because, like, now when you know it, you're like, I can't imagine thinking any other way.
You're like, wait, how? You're like, I've just been around this sick person forever and now I'm sick? That doesn't even make sense.
I know.
What?
I know. I don't understand. But I mean, it was back then.
Especially like, well, and I do understand it in like the, who's the lady who wouldn't wash her hands?
Oh, Typhoid Mary?
Yes. Like, I understand that where she's like, but I'm not sick.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, you've been around a guy coughing up blood and now you're coughing up blood. Guess how it spreads, pal?
Yeah, I know, right? But they were just like, huh, I have no idea. It's so weird.
Did you swallow some thorns, son?
I think it's the devil.
It's Satan.
Yeah. So it was taking out his family members with an invisible force stalking his family.
Yeah.
He had to do something. So yeah. He later wrote a letter to a friend in Stockbridge. He said he had consulted many about opening the graves of some of the deceased, he explained, to see whether they had any signs of the dead preying on the living. So he's like, it's the dead haunting and sucking the life out of our family.
Why didn't I think of that?
I mean, it's the most obvious thing.
I think we might be wrong.
I know, but I'm like, I'm trying to understand their thought process because it is taking out family members one by one and it's like right. Over time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, weird. So the townspeople had first exhumed this guy's mother-in-law who had been buried 3 years ago in the old cemetery up in Hatfield. Mm-hmm. They were thinking if anyone was tormenting their family from beyond the grave, it would be her. Apparently she was a big bitch, I'm guessing.
So they dig her up and they're like, is she still there?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so they just found a desiccated skeleton.
Of course.
And her face had fallen in with some residue in the lungs that seemed like meal, which is like gritty.
Yeah.
And a little wettish. That's a direct quote. And I said,
a little wettish.
Okay.
Where?
In the lungs.
Oh.
The lungs were wettish. Taylor, no. She's an old bitchy lady. Shall we not?
She can't have a good time?
Not in her coffin. Okay, so they're now prying open the coffin of Justice's daughter, Martha, who had died 6 years ago. And they found a corpse shockingly less decomposed than the lady who had been buried for 3 years. So she's been buried double the time. And she said that she had always been, quote, considerably fleshy. I don't like that. Does that mean she was like a heavy girl in life? Because she had always been considerably fleshy. Does that mean she was like a big girl?
I don't know.
Like, what are they saying?
She had really thick skins. You could just tell.
The flesh
you'd was fleshy. You'd try to pinch her, and it just was like
it was taut.
Yes.
Thick skin. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, so they thought... That's a period. What does that mean?
They thought about it.
But her lungs and liver seemed strangely intact, even after all those years in the ground. So he told the town physician, Dr. Ozma Scott, to open the body and cut into the lungs. And they discovered coagulated blood inside, perhaps several spoonfuls.
I mean, what dead person probably doesn't have blood in their lungs?
I don't. Yeah, they probably weren't embalming them back then. Yeah. I really don't know. So, which he judged to be more than... So the blood in the lungs was no more than 26 hours old. Evidence
that she of was life doing it.
Within the corpse.
How
did she get that blood in there? She's been in the ground. What? So a graduate of Yale Divinity School... Justice himself tried to rationalize the difference in decomposition between the two bodies. One had been buried 6 years, one had been buried 3 years. And he's like, maybe it's the soil quality because one had sandy soil while the other one had just like lots of stones in it. So he's trying to be
scientific,
normal.
Yeah.
Yes, he's like trying to not jump to conclusions. But he was a man of God and he couldn't rule out the other possibility.
Right.
His daughter was a vampire.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, and I said, I can't even wrap my brain around this thinking. I'm too smart for it. I'm not going to fall for it.
No.
Okay, but we'll revisit that story shortly.
Okay.
Okay, so for more than 100 years in the 18th and 19th centuries, a vampire scare really had a chokehold on rural New England, mm-hmm. with townsfolk believing that invisible spirits were preying on their loved ones. The belief grew from fear of another invisible killer, consumption, like we talked about. Yep. A disease that took its name for the way it consumed its victims from the inside out.
No!
And by the mid-19th century, scientists had given it another name, as we know it, tuberculosis.
Yep.
At the time, the disease was the most common cause of death in the United States, ravaging whole families as husbands and wives and sons and daughters grew pale and wasted away in a desperate attempt to stop the sickness that seemingly descended without a cause. So, yeah. Like, where did this come from?
And then yet the other half of the people are like, wow, you look so good.
You look so thin. What are you doing?
Tuberculosis.
Oh, dying? I should try that sometime. Okay, so they resorted to extreme measures, digging up a deceased family member to check for liquid blood in their heart or lungs.
That's so intense.
Yeah, as seen, they were like, it's a sign of demonic possession.
Oh, no.
Sometimes they called it an evil angel inhabiting the body.
Yeah.
So it's like Lori Vallow.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
She was onto something.
She was. So this is a folklorist, Michael Bell. He says, draining the life out of a family member, and he's standing on the site of a 1788 exhumation, like in a cemetery where this was happening.
Yeah.
Today. So, yes. Then it's painting a picture for you. Nearby, a giant white oak may have been back then 200 years ago, its branches were changing colors over the family of Justice Forward,
mm-hmm.
their family plot, including the crooked, lynching-covered headstone of his married daughter, Martha, who's the fleshiest.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and so they're known as the earliest known vampires in New England.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of a bold move of him, though. Like, he's like the pastor of like the...
Yeah.
And he's like, my daughter's a vampire. Mm-hmm. You'd think that he would be like, not my daughter.
Exactly. Mm. Well, obviously she was a girl.
Well, yeah.
So
fair.
All of the vampires in this story are women.
Weird how that works.
It's super weird. The mm-hmm. devil gets to the women. We
they
all
do.
Know it.
They do.
So yeah, the guy himself was thin with pale features and like just had a little bit of white hair.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. This is the folklorist that we're talking about.
Okay.
Not the original guy.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, he might seem like a touch of a vampire himself.
Absolutely.
He's got the look. He looks like he could be a leader of the damn Volturi, I wrote. And then he says, unlike your average Dracula, nobody ever came out of the grave. Instead, the evil spirit was thought to drain the family member's life by sympathetic connection. So they weren't like getting out of their graves and mm-hmm. like sucking their blood. They were doing it
through sympathetic vibrations. Yeah,
like telekinesis or something. Mm-hmm. Without leaving the ground.
Yeah.
And he says, to me, that is much more frightening than a zombie.
Is it?
It's like that you can go kill or it's something. True. But if it's doing it through the air? I don't know.
Makes even less sense.
It really does. If you see something, you have a chance to name it and ward it off or kill it, like I just said. Once the body's been exhumed, villagers would perform rituals to sever a spiritual connection, often burning the organs or entire corpse, and sometimes making the living relatives inhale the smoke or ingest the ashes.
Oh my.
So they're eating the corpse that is infected with tuberculosis.
No.
Because I know this for a fact. COVID-19, people who passed away of it were not able to be organ donors because obviously.
Obviously.
But these people were like, you have to eat your brother and then you will stop.
Or inhale their ashes.
Uh-huh.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
They're like, weird, they got even sicker.
That doesn't make sense. Okay, so in Martha's case, her dad oversaw placing of his daughter's decomposed liver and lungs into a special box, which was then buried about a foot above her coffin. Says, she can't feast on us without these. Problem solved. No lungs, no liver.
Yeah.
She's done.
She's done. It's buried completely separate.
She can't even suck our life out of us anymore.
Nope.
Thanks, Dad. I feel so safe now. Okay, so the folklorist, before investigating the vampires in New England in 1981, mm-hmm. he led a grant to explore the folk life of Southern Rhode Island for his doctorate in Indiana University. So he studied voodoo practices in the American South. I was like, this sounds really cool.
It really does.
He's the most interesting. So he was intrigued by one of his interns discovered a local character in a town called Exeter, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
He was named Everett Peck. He was the master of like local lore. He knew it all.
That would be me. I'm like, tell me all the weird stories. Yeah.
I'm like, so into this.
Yeah.
And I said, I bet he's so freaking weird and amazing, like in a Phoebe Buffay kind of a way.
Yes.
Okay. So the intern told Bell, be sure to ask him about his family vampire. So yeah, he meets the guy and he barely had time to turn on his tape recorder before this guy, Peck, launched into a story about an ancestor named Mercy Brown.
Wow.
A 19-year-old consumption victim who was... I keep burping.
Dursting.
Mm-hmm. She was exhumed in 1892 under suspicion of draining the life from her brother.
Whoa.
What a dick she was.
What year is this, did you say?
She was exhumed in 1892.
They had tape recorders back then?
No. Sorry. So this is the lore guy
uh-huh.
talking about his ancestor. And Mercy Brown was his ancestor okay. who was exhumed.
Okay.
So, no. As far as I know, they did not have a tape recorder. But he's just, you know, heard the story and family history, yes. whatever. So he was intrigued as hell. And he's like, yes, this weirdo is the jackpot my work here. So the guy began digging, finding several accounts backing up his tale, including a scholarly article in an anthropological journal of the day back then, and a newspaper article in the Providence Journal. Soon he was uncovering similar stories of New England, describing about 20 of them. He, in his 2001 book that came out, was called Food for the Dead. And then I wrote, I bet that's a kick-ass cookbook.
Right?
So dumb.
I love it.
In the 2 decades since he wrote that, he's now found 87 tales in all of like people digging up their family members.
And that's amazing.
Taking out their organs.
Wow.
Okay, so he has a new book coming out called Vampires Grasp. Okay, so Michael Bell is at the grave of Martha Dwight. He says, I think that Rhode Island was more open to what we call a magical worldview. So he lives in Massachusetts. So yeah, because people wanted to leave Massachusetts because it was like way more Puritan views there and they mm-hmm. like were more spiritualism and whatever.
Totally.
So they were going to like Rhode Island because they could have their beliefs there. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So he can't say where the superstition originally came from and he finds no similar practices in England. The earliest case in the United States was from Wellington, Connecticut, a town there was a quack doctor, a foreigner, who persuaded Isaac Johnson to exhume. This is like the first time he was like, this is how we fix this problem.
Totally.
He exhumed his family members in 1784. He speculates that the practice arrived to America during the Revolution. So yeah, America's just a baby and everybody has different beliefs. And he's like, to stop this from killing your family, this is what must be done. And everyone was like,
we're in.
Makes sense to me.
Totally.
So after that, the practice spread from town to town. Mm-hmm. So there was a case in Cornwall, Connecticut. A farmer, Eliza Ford, saw her father and 5 brothers and sister all die of tuberculosis.
Oh my gosh.
Before visiting a stranger searching for a new cow pasture, they told her about the ritual. And so she's like, well, I'm the only one left, so I have to do something about this. So she digs up her sister, Emily, in 1869. Can you imagine
digging up your own
sister? I can't think of anything that is more of a nightmare.
That is
exhuming, like disturbing a grave and having to look at them.
Oh!
I never, never, never.
Like, I would make... Ugh, no.
So yeah, she did that, and then it doesn't really say what happened. But 2 years later, a transplanted new Rhode Islander advertised in the local paper that he would be disinterring several of his family members, and 100 curious neighbors showed up to observe. So now it's like a spectacle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exhumations were usually shared within families or local communities, unlike the very public witch trials in Salem that preceded them, mm-hmm. which is why many New Englanders have never heard of them.
What? Of witch trials?
I don't know.
What?
I think the experience was so traumatizing, I don't really like to make it into local folklore the way the ghost stories or even the witch stories did, says Faye Rignell, an expert on Gothic horror. She also sounds amazing.
She does.
She says, today we might associate this with Halloween and a thrilling, pleasurable terror. It's like this podcast, basically. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is why we like it. It's creepy.
Totally.
But if you lived at the time, it was just scary. One of those beliefs you lived with and hoped that you wouldn't have to act upon, but you might.
You might. You I might mean, do it.
Put me in that situation.
You're desperate enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just feel like if though it was happening to me and I was like, oh, I've got to do that, I don't want to be the one to dig them up.
No, I would definitely hire it out.
Call someone else.
Yes. The
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Call them first. If they are too busy, just have like the grave digger do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Connecticut in the 1960s, this horror folklorist person.
Yeah.
She came across an old article about Jewett City. Mm-hmm. It's now part of Griswold. I don't know. This is supposed to mean things to me. So just over the border from Exeter. So it's like surrounding towns in Rhode Island.
Okay.
Where in 1854, residents dug up the bodies of the victims, Horace Ray and his three sons. They died of conception, obviously. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So she read an article about they dug up these bodies and she was like, I knew that cemetery. It was 10 minutes away from my house.
Yeah.
So then she was hooked and wanted to like,
she's like, I need to know more. She was like
following the story very closely.
Totally.
Yeah. So the writer who wrote this article that she read was like condemning the practice, deeming it something from the darkest age of unreasoning ignorance and blind superstition. And I said, I'm so glad that some people back then were thinking straight.
Right?
Because at first I was like, everybody was like, you have to.
Totally.
It's the only way. So it was typical of newspapers at the time. What am I saying? Each time there was a case, a reporter would say, this is unprecedented. This is an unbelievable superstition. Who would believe this? How would we fall for this in our enlightened times, they would mm-hmm. say. The enlightened city dwellers were performing seances in their elegant parlors under the guidance of mediums who practiced spiritualism. So it was like people were split.
Well, yeah. It was probably the same time where they were like knocking with their toes. Uh-huh.
Yes, those sisters. Exactly. Yeah. So popular interest in vampirism peaked with Mercy Brown in 1892, which set off a media frenzy. Mm-hmm. She was, and this is the most popular one I know of. I'd heard of this before. Totally. Okay. So a news clipping found its way into the papers of Bram Stoker, who goes on to write Dracula. He yeah. invented Dracula. And so Dracula was published in London in 1897. So
wow,
5 years later.
Yeah.
After the, so a lot of people oh say that gosh. She was based, Dracula is based on this like New England vampires.
Totally.
Okay. Some once believed that Mercy's stories might have inspired Dracula, but Stoker's journal showed that he had been working on it since like 5 years before she died. So who
he's
knows?
Just like, wow, this is just extra.
Yeah. So they
inspiration.
Say Mercy Brown didn't influence the female vampires of Dracula. Dracula influenced the following perception of Mercy Brown after her death, which okay. I'm like, I could say that to be yeah. true. It was no accident, she says. Most of the bodies exhumed were young women, as ghosts and witches, and for that matter, mediums, were all often female. Such is lore. It is a two-edged sword, she says. A way for the powerless to have power, but a fear of powerful women as well. And I said, ugh, the goddamn patriarchy.
Seriously, it shows up everywhere.
Even villainizing the ladies after death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as macabre as exhuming family members may have been, they say that they'd have sympathy for the families who were performing them. Mm-hmm. It is almost impossible now to put ourselves back then with, like we talked about, germ theory.
Totally.
And we know how diseases are spread.
Totally.
Doctors were split on whether consumption was hereditary, like because families were dying. So they're like, oh, it's genetic.
It's just like, you're all going to die. Yeah. It's just your lot.
It was a taint or a stain in your family tree. Like, oh, well, you've all got it. Or if it was caused by mysterious environmental factors such as damp or bad air. Because a lot of people are trying to escape it by going to like
drier climates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Attributing the disease to invisible spirits.
Why are you listening to me, Siri?
Rude.
Yes. So they were attributing it to invisible spirits, which in some ways is actually closer to bacterial cause of the disease.
Yeah.
But they knew it was contagious, but they didn't know like
how.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so even the ritual of burning the bodies and having family members inhale the smoke or ingest the ashes was a sense of inoculation, kind of like vaccines.
Yeah.
But like.
Totally.
No, not really.
I just like, okay, ingest these ashes. I'm like, that's got to taste like complete shit.
No. How do you even
get that down?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, do you just drink it like in water?
It's so bad.
Drinking a person.
No.
No. No. Okay, so. Okay, so by his estimation, these rituals only appeared to, quote, work when no further family members died. So you drink the ashes and you don't die. They're like,
it worked.
We've done it.
Yeah.
Yes. A little better than half the time that would happen. It's like just chance.
Totally.
But it must have made people feel like they were really doing something in the face of like, this is hopeless. Like, how do we fight it?
Scientifically, though, I'm very interested in like, you know, the half and half. I wonder if that partly depended, because like you said, maybe it could have like an inoculation effect. But like, were some people who were like ingesting like raw organs or whatever versus like the ashes, did they like have a higher chance of passing away versus like someone who like, it's been cooked.
Or... Right. Yeah, you would think.
I'm just interested in that, thinking about it.
That is an interesting point. I feel like raw would be worse.
Right? Because it's like still too alive.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, but I like your thought there. Okay. Yeah. So can you imagine? You've got a family of 12 and 6 of them have died. And now your wife or others are also sick. And are you going to do nothing? No, you're going to do something. You're grasping at straws. It was kind of like a placebo effect.
Totally. It just like made them feel better.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this is a quote from an article. To answer that question, we only need to look at COVID-19 pandemic. The panicked Americans pursued remedies from drinking bleach or swallowing horse dewormer. And I said, I've never heard of those. Do you remember hearing of those? Yeah. Yes. So they said, and then I said, I didn't hear of those, but we did panic buy toilet paper for reasons unknown, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said in the article, she says, let's not break our arms patting ourselves on the back. We're not smarter than they were. We just have more information. Mm-hmm. When we come against an unknown disease that's going to kill us. Or sometimes
too much information.
Yes. When we come against an unknown disease that's going to kill us, we still have fear and it makes us do stupid things like drink bleach to get it out of your system.
Totally.
A German scientist named Robert Koch finally isolated the bacterium that causes tuberculosis in 1882. So it's like during the height of all of this.
Totally.
And 8 years later, he boldly claimed that he had discovered a cure, but in reality, the cure didn't work.
Yeah.
And it would take another 50 years before they created a vaccine to prevent the disease. That's why crazy. People don't die of tuberculosis very often.
Exactly.
Okay, so the main treatment of TB, tuberculosis, is to take antibiotics for 6 months. If you were to get it nowadays, that's how they treat it.
That's crazy.
6 months of antibiotics, and if it has spread to your brain, spinal cord, or the area around your heart, you may need to take steroid medicine for weeks.
Yeah, to like uninflame those areas.
Yeah, whatever. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, damn. Wow. It's still brutal.
Yeah.
Okay, so then even after that discovery, vampire ritual continued in New England, including the most famous case of Mercy Brown. Okay, let's finally talk about it.
I just looked up a picture of her. And
Mercy Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it.
She's quite a treat. She has one of those classical haircuts that looks like She has a bowl cut, but it's really just tucked up behind.
Yes.
She doesn't look very happy.
She looks like Popeye's olive oil.
She does.
She does. And she also looks like she's 45.
She's got a fabulous collar, the thinnest neck.
She really does. Like, you could
snap. And that she's wearing a judge's outfit.
That's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg would wear. Yes. Just like that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, she looks 45, but she was 19.
Oh.
No preservatives.
No preservatives.
I'm saying.
It doesn't do us well.
Okay, so.
Get yourself some McDonald's that won't go bad after 45 years.
No, it's going to be preserved. Just mm-hmm. like us.
Yep.
Because I have Twinkies running through my veins from childhood.
Absolutely.
Dunkaroos. Ooh. Yes.
We had Dunkaroos on Murder Chats and Snacks.
We sure did. Okay. Mercy Brown. In December 1883, her mother died of tuberculosis when she was just 11 years old. Mercy was 11. Mm-hmm. And then the next June, her sister Olive also died of tuberculosis.
Olive oil?
Yeah, you should have seen her. She looked even more like olive oil.
Wow.
So Mercy would have lost her mother and her elder sister within 6 months of each other. That's mm-hmm. just too much.
That is.
Mercy says that... She lived another 8 years before dying in January at the age of 19 in 1892. So she was put in the cemetery crypt while gravediggers waited for the ground to thaw so she could be buried. So she was transferred to her grave 2 months later. Meanwhile, her brother Edwin showed worsening symptoms of consumption. Mm-hmm. And when attempts to travel to Colorado for fresh air were failed, they returned to their town confined to his bed. And when terrified townspeople began petitioning for Mercy's father, George Brown, to dig up his family to check for signs of vampirism. Mm-hmm. They're like, we have to, sir, you must.
You must do it.
And George was very vocal about not believing in this superstition.
Yeah.
But he did give permission for his daughter to be exhumed.
He's like, I don't believe it, but you can open it up.
Fine, if you're not going to leave me alone. Neither George or Edwin were present when their neighbors dug up the body.
Yeah, no.
No. So they did find that her heart showed traces of blood.
Well, I'm sorry. Your heart pumps blood.
I know. I'm like, she's only been dead for 2 months. Can you chill? Like, she's not all decayed yet, I guess.
Oh, my God.
So the bodies of his wife and daughter were just bones when they opened them up because they've been dead longer.
Absolutely.
So Mercy was the most recent to die, and she was surprisingly intact. And she died in midwinter. Yes, she was preserved by the cold.
Absolutely. But
they didn't understand. They're like, she's not decaying because she's sucking the life out of her brother. It's keeping her from dying more. What?
Oh, jeez. No.
Yep. So the frigid temperatures did not stop the examiners from being suspicious. So they also noted that her fingernails had grown and...
They started to curl and like her those hair had world grown. Record holders.
Yes. And her hair had grown. But now we know this as the trick. It's a trick of your own eyes because the flesh around them is retracting because mm-hmm. it's decaying. So it's like, of course, they look longer because mm-hmm. it's shrinkage. Okay. So armed with this evidence.
Shrinkage, some may say.
Yes. Yes. The worst kind. So they had this evidence now and the villagers were certain they found their vampire. She's guilty.
It's her.
Look at her. Look at this bitch. Look at this dead bitch.
Yeah. In her judge's outfit.
Look at her. Okay, so they cut out her heart and burned it, obviously.
Obviously.
And then for good measure, they made her brother, Edwin, who's dying, drink the ashes in hopes that he'd recover. But not long after, he also died. Because, duh.
And do you know what I hate about this the most? Her dad was like, absolutely not. And they're like, nope. We're doing it.
We're gonna. And he's like, well, I guess I can't stop you.
Oh my gosh.
So it's not surprising. So Rhode Island had reportedly called was now the vampire capital of America. such was the power of these like vampire panic.
Yeah.
Yep. So they had the vampire slayings is what they were calling them, even though they were already dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they carried across the Atlantic. So there was like worldwide news at this point, when Irish-born writer Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula, so they said that it, whatever. This is two different articles saying the totally. Same thing. Excuse me. And they said that they did find newspaper clippings of the Mercy Brown story in his files.
So he was at least interested.
Yes. So Krista Carman, who is a horror author in Rhode Island, who has written an unpublished novel based on the legend of Mercy's story.
Ooh.
So she said that this story took on a life of its own when the tabloids newspapers of the era, I'm assuming it's like Bridgerton, the lady whistled down or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, so they ran with the story. It was an example of superstition.
Whistle bottom. That's what I should have to hear. But then I was like, that's like a fart.
What?
Whistle bottom.
Oh, my. It's like a high-pitched one. Yes.
Is that not how you tuned?
No. yeah, so they said it's an example of superstitions and rural... Whatever. Okay. Her locally, her notoriety echoed down the years as because she is like famously known as Rhode Island's quote, last vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So the grave of Mercy Brown, where she's known as the last vampire, blah, blah, blah. So Carmen grew up close to this town.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she heard the stories of teenagers daring each other to spend the night at the cemetery or leaving plastic vampire fangs on Mercy's grave.
Ooh, brave.
I know. Ghost hunters claim to see spectral lights and supposedly recorded her disembodied voice speaking from beyond the grave. At one point, her tombstone was stolen, which is so shitty. I hope she haunts you.
Serious.
But it was later recovered and is now bolted into the concrete. So they said that her story was lost in gruesome legend. She was just a 19-year-old girl who was probably terrified of the disease that was like haunting her family.
Totally.
Yeah, she was like taking care of her younger siblings. They said, what would it be like during those 8 years knowing the disease would come for you at any time?
That's so scary.
Yeah.
I don't even like when, like, my family starts to catch a cold and I'm like, no.
It's coming.
It's coming for me. It's
coming for us. Yeah, so she says it bothers her that she's been, like, villainized in her death and that people leave fangs on her tombstone. The end of the story. And I said, I'm trying to decide if I were Mercy, if I would be upset with people remembering me this way. Obviously, we know that she wasn't a vampire.
Totally.
But she's, like, a beloved urban legend at this point.
Totally.
I don't think I would mind the fangs.
I don't think so either, because just the other day I was talking to some people and I was like, if I moved to a small town, I was like, I don't think I could live in like a really small town. I said, the only way I could is if I like moved to a small town and then everyone just like made up a rumor that I was a witch. I think I'd be kind of into that. So
you'd be like, she's super weird. You should listen to her podcast. She is in some freaky shit.
A witch. So I think I'd be into it. I'm like,
yeah.
Everyone kind of thinks I'm like a vampire.
Remember me fondly for something. And then I feel like Buffy the Vampire Slayer only did her favors.
Oh, absolutely.
Made a heroine out of her.
Sure did.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wow.
That's the story of the New England vampire panic.
Thank you. I don't think I've ever even heard of that story.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild.
Okay. My sources were bostonglobe.com, a vampire panic gripped New England in the 1800s. The true evil was in the air.
No.
Tuberculosis. by Michael Blanding.
Mm-hmm.
And in How Stuff Works article, The New England Vampire Panic Was Very Real and Very Deadly by Nathan Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
For that.
That was a lot. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. Join our Patreon.
Please join the Patreon. We hang out there. We've posted so many episodes. If you just can't get enough.
Right. If you want to hear about Selena and her fan that killed her.
Yolanda.
Please come join. That's what we'll be doing this month. Mm-hmm. So
come follow us on Instagram at Gloom and Bloom Podcast.
Follow us on TikTok at Gloom and Bloom 666, I believe. Let me just double check that for you.
Yes, and then send us an email. Guys, we miss your emails at gloomandbloompodcast@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, it's gloomandbloompodcast666 on TikTok.
Yeah, that's us.
That's us.
And we hope you have a good week. You know, really find something you can sink your teeth into.
Mm-hmm.
Do less, God bless. Gloom and Bloom out.
Yes.